Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is writer and photographer Merrill Meisler. Two books collecting her work are New York, Paradise Lost, the Bushwick Era Disco, and Purgatory and Paradise, Sassy 70s, Suburbia and the City. Merrill, welcome to the show. It is such a pleasure to talk to you.
I am delighted to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
I want to talk about these two huge, beautiful collections of your photographs that I talked about in the introduction. When did you start photographing? Like, what age?
I started, I guess, when I was like 7 years old when I got my first camera from my parents. But I came seriously photographing 50 years ago in the fall of 1973, and I took my first photography class while in graduate school for art education at University of Wisconsin at Madison.
Do you remember what camera you started out with?
Absolutely. My first 35 millimeter, well, my first 7-year-old camera is a 620 Adventura.
Oh yeah,
and it still works, and I still have it.
Oh whoa!
Yes, I thought, oh my God, it's like my friend.
You can't get film for that, can you?
I haven't tried lately. I tried around 25 years ago. I did, and it was available. You never know. Probably is. Probably someone has something, and then my first when I was going to take. Decided, I'll take a real photography class, and I bought a Minolta SRT 101.
Wow. And you're not, you're still photographing, but you're not, are you shooting
good?
Yes,
I continue to photograph. I was with my little great niece and my sister-in-law. We went to the theater yesterday, and at the end of it, I took it with my medium format camera and flash in my bag. I took a picture of my niece at the theater.
So you're shooting you're shooting digital now?
No, I've actually currently I have returned to shooting a medium format film camera. Huh. I have a talk room in my basement up in Woodstock.
I love it.
I've returned to my roots, developed my film. And I make limited edition gelatin silver prints. This is something I've returned to this. I started taking photo 101 classes over again to relearn.
I really love. I've developed my own film. I'm not a photographer, but there was a period where I wanted to learn, and the act of developing your own film is like alchemy. I think it's an amazing thing to do, to see that photo appear in the bath. Oh, my God.
And it's a miraculous, and you never know if it will come out. And I truly think the prints are spectacular. They're much more beautiful, in my opinion, than popping them out of the computer.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Now, you shoot mostly in black and white, but in one of these books, there's color photography, too.
Again, I am focusing on black and white. It's so challenging, and it's so special and unique. But I, as you can see by the two books, I actually have three books. The first one you can't even get anymore, but use color and black and white throughout my career.
Okay.
Especially when I started working full time, who had time to be in the dark room. and so I've used both. So now if I have my phone camera with me, I'm looking and seeing color, but I'm decisively using Tri-X film through a camera and lens and thinking in black and white, darks and lights, contrasts, shadows. You know, I'm thinking that way when I'm making decisions.
You were born in the Bronx but grew up in Massapequa?
Yes, I was born in the Bronx, and I grew up at North Massapequa, Long Island. My family, my parents bought one of homes for under the GI Bill, and it was miraculous. And at the age of 2 and a half, we moved to North Massapequa.
Documenting, you photo documented the people of the so-called matzo pizza?
Yes, when I took my first, one of the most famous people from matzo pizza would be Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you can see it must be something in the water, a certain sensibility that's similar. And I, on my first vacations home from college, I took a subway and buses and went up to Times Square and photographed Times Square, which I can't believe it came back. And then on vacations home, I started photographing the people I knew and loved, my family and my friends, the people I knew my whole life. And when I came back to school and developed the prints and showed the contact prints to my professor, his name is Cavalier Ketchum. He's still alive and well.
I love that first name.
He looks at him and he goes, "What is this?" I said, "What do you mean, what is this? It's these places, these backgrounds, these homes." I said, "This is where I come from. Everyone's home looks like this." So I didn't know that there was a particular style that was prevalent in Long Island at the time. And I don't think it's just Long Island, but it was... maybe it was because there were people who grew up very poor and were given the opportunity to own their home for the first time, and they went wild. Anyway, this is where I grew up, and the photographs are very playful and loving because these are literally people I played with and loved me.
But the unusual thing about these books and what makes them so unique and wonderful is that there's those photographs documenting the people of Matzo Pizza. And then there's the disco photographs of these nightclubs in the city, which are wild.
Thank you. I was I'm a young person who moved into New York City and really felt quite at home there. And that's what was, when I was going out at night. And I brought my camera. And I'm not someone who just looks through one lens or lives, my life is just, I am that person and these are the only people I associate with. It's part of the magic of a place like New York City is all different kinds of people. And so fortunately, I did bring the main idea was going out and having fun, but fortunately I did carry my camera through many of those nights out, and I'm glad I did.
First of all, there's nothing like this today. I remember that time period in New York City, and I think it was the AIDS epidemic that put the end to a lot of it. But it was a pretty free sexual period with a lot of sort of upfront sexual stuff going on. And you were there with your camera. Did people mind being photographed? It was a very personal moment.
Okay. In all my photographs, 99.9999%, the people know I'm photographing them, whether it's verbal, beforehand, a nod, just a gesture, they know. So is it okay?
Okay.
So very, very rare. Some of the photographs of, say, street life in Bushwick, it's like if I asked the kid if I could take his picture, I wouldn't have gotten a moment with him tying his roller skates on.
Oh, they're wonderful.
But most of the time, I ask then and now. And I'm actually back out photographing nightlife, not as frequently, but I am back, and there's a lot of similarities. I'm not an expert on it because I'm not going to all the clubs at all, just the people I have connections to. But there's like a I see the similarities and the references and the homages to. Well, you know, when I was photographing in the 70s or going out, I was thinking, oh, I am in this is my Paris of the 30s.
It is. No, it is.
It's a tradition of nightlife. And probably if we go back thousands of years, there were probably different caves. And in one of the caves, they lit the fire a little higher, and I banged on the walls more and danced more than in the other cave. No, I think there's always been nightlife as part of nightlife and celebration and dance and music is part of the human experience. It is.
So how did you get involved in this, in the disco culture and the nightclub culture? What was the first clubs that you... I can't believe this girl from Massapequa with her camera is just walking into these clubs. How did you get sort of introduced to it?
Well, let's see. First, when I first moved to New York City in 1975, I moved into a distant cousin's home, and she had a lot of friends who were Puerto Rican. And we would go to Hispanic clubs and Latin clubs. But I didn't photograph as much when I was going. And then the biggest disco experience was February 14th, 1977. I was...
Wow! What a memory!
How can you... Valentine's Day.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Valentine's Day. And I was taking a photography course. The professor, the teacher... I don't know how he mentioned it or sensed it. Must have sensed something in my pictures. Let me know about something called the Coyote Hookers Masquerade Ball that was going to be at the Copacabana. And Coyote stood for cast off your old tired ethics. And somehow, I found a note recently where I actually asked the person who was running it permission to go inside and get in there for free. And I was granted. I put on my Girl Scout uniform and went in and
Meryl, back up. Are you just talking euphemistically or did you really put on your Girl Scout uniform?
I really did. It was a costume ball and I still had my Girl Scout outfit.
Do you still fit into it?
And this is worse. I still have that Girl Scout outfit, but I put on my Girl Scout outfit, and it was the really first big disco experience with people of all the ages, genders, gender expressions. It was a ball run by Margot St. James, who started this organization, Coyote, which stood off cast off your old tired ethics. It was basically a hooker's ball.
That's right.
And it was like a sex workers union wanting to be a sex workers union, but it was amazing. And some of those photographs from those early days, that first night, where I just had a retrospective in my gallery called Clamp, CLAMP in the Chelsea.
Yeah.
And the photographs from then were in the show. But so I went to Coyote Hooker Ball, had a blast, and the sound system was like nothing I ever heard. The people, you know, I was on the younger side. The dancing, it was just so much fun.
Meryl, how old were you? How old were you?
Let's see, 77.
Yeah,
I was 25.
Okay, I thought you might have even been a teenager.
No, I was of age, and. And then I went to Mardi Gras from there. I was invited by a photographer who invited me to trade work. They saw my work, Michael Smith in New Orleans. And I went down to Mardi Gras. And, Mardi Gras, and then I have so much work that's never been seen. Like, that's never been seen. But that was, like, the same scene on the streets. And on the way back I took a bus going there and coming back, there was somebody on the bus who was being very flirtatious with some guys there, and I asked about taking her picture and perhaps collaborating on an article for a magazine I was working for. Thus began my friendship with Judith, a.k.a. Judy Jupiter.
And there's a lot of photographs of her in the
yes,
in the book.
Yes, a lot of photographs of her. And we started, she had a mad crush on a bartender from CBGB's, so we'd go to CBGB's a bit, hang out with him. and I was, you know, going to CBGB's. And then Studio 54 opened, and of course it made all the news. And Judy Jupiter contacted him and said that we were photographers. She contacted the, according to her memory, she contacted the PR firm, put our name on the list, and then the doorman liked us, and so we would let us in. That was really it. I never published anything. And there were tons of photographers. We just went out, and the scene was exploding. That it was so many clubs, so it didn't even matter if it was Studio 54 that night. It could be, you know, Infinity. It could be, there's a million clubs. There was just, they were popping up all over Xenon. There was so many, and one was bigger or more grand than the other, and they were all fun. You know, they had their own themes for the night, and of course there was no email or you could be on a guest list because you knew somebody was running the party, or was word of mouth, and I didn't have a full time job that I had to get up in the morning. I was a freelance illustrator, so, and then I had a grant from CETA, Comprehensive Employment Training Act, in 78. I got a grant. It was like the WPA in the 70s, and I was employed by the American Jewish Congress, but still I didn't have to get up at 6 in the morning. And so, why not go out? It was fun.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is writer and photographer Meryl Meisler. Two books collecting her work that you can get are New York, Paradise Lost, The Bushwick Era Disco, and Purgatory and Paradise, Sassy, 70s Suburbia in the City. What was the Mystery Club?
The Mystery Club kind of made me who I am in some ways, that I'm open to different kinds of experiences. My parents, Sonny and Jack Meisler, it's basically my mom and some of friends. She had the idea, I think she'd heard about some other ones, to start a mystery club. And it was basically around 15 couples who lived near each other. Most, like I say, 100% Jewish, because they were, okay?
Yep.
But they also had this, I think I am Jewish. I think there's something, you know, genetic, so you have a sense of humor. They went on, planned two couples, meaning, yeah, of course, the women. And they planned a mystery evening, and where the other couples were sent a mystery invitation. It could be in any form. It could be a cryptic note. It could be a personal invitation. They were told what to wear, if anything special, if they had to eat beforehand, and where to show up. And it was very inexpensive. It was like maybe a max of $50 a couple for the evening, including food. It might be, you know, and that was a lot if it included the bus also. And they could meet in a graveyard. They could meet in a shopping center. They things like seances, haunted houses, visiting Grumman, building a spaceship. And imagine, I mean, I was in like fourth grade at the time when this started. And you'd come back and the next day and your parents were hysterical laughing. Hysterical. It's like, what did the Mystery Club do last night? They went to a nudist colony. I mean, it was a forest type in New Jersey. They were not swingers. They were just adventurous. And they visited a nudist colony and had a tour. This is probably the furthest place. They went from Long Island to New Jersey. They go another time. They would record Strangers in the Night. They would take Chinese cooking lessons. I came back hysterical, you know, another time. It's just wild laughing. What did you do last time? They went to a place called the Continental Bath, which was gay men's bathhouse, you know, where Brett Midler got one of her starts. And they saw a young performer sing, which I believe was Peter Allen. Wow. Oh, that's what memory recalls. So imagine thinking that your parents were with their best friends. I mean, these are people you saw at bar mitzvahs and weddings and things like that. And they were sitting around hanging out with gay men and the men were wearing camels, and they were dressed up and enjoying a show together. They were very open-minded.
Wow.
To meeting different kinds of people, different kinds of experiences, close to home. And you don't need to travel around the world to have different kinds of experiences and meet different kinds of people. And laughter and learning was a part of all of it. And I'm positive that it influences why the kind of pictures
yeah.
and things that
yeah.
you, they went adventurous. You don't have to, you know, you have your group of friends that you're close to and you stick to, but the world's full of wonderful people. And so that was the mystery club. And it went on for decades until they all started retiring and moving to different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Or go to Florida some, or wherever, heaven some, but lifelong friendships. And their children, my generation, we laugh, you know, we'd call ourselves the adult children of the mystery club. they were amazing. And they never ran out of fun things to find what to do. And laughter was a big part of it.
And there some of the photographs of them are in your books, and they're wonderful. There's also a number of self-portraits of you, pictures of mm-hmm. you. I love those. You look like
Thank you very much.
You look like such an impish person.
Would you repeat that sentence, please?
You seem like a really impish, I-M-P-I-S-H, impish person, mischievous. Is that fair to say?
As I spoke, what I said a minute before, truthfully, I am hearing impaired.
I know.
And we are.
So, mischievous. Like, were you mischievous?
Yeah, I was a very good girl.
Oh, come on.
I can tell. Very good girl. I was a good kid. Okay.
Meryl, there's these pictures of all sorts of people having sexual encounters, passed out in the bathroom, all sorts of stuff. And you're saying you were a good girl?
I think so. I feel really nice. But I'm a good kid. I'm a nice girl.
I believe you.
Like the little tagline for Sassy 70s, they were thinking about my work, it's sweet and sassy with a pinch of mystery. I am a good person. but I'm open minded. I didn't say
you weren't good. I know you're a good person.
Yeah.
I just think, wow, you were in some wild places at the time taking photographs.
So.
And I'm glad you were there documenting this. Did you feel like you were documenting that period in time while you're taking these photographs?
I am educated. I mean, in the history of photography.
Yeah.
I wasn't a photography major, so I was educated by those who came before me. And I was familiar, as I say, with different bodies of work. Of course, people in photography, it's like my dad's own family pictures that influenced me. Seeing Dion Arbus's work as the first documentary that influenced me deeply. The playfulness of people with their families was being exposed to Jacques-Henri Lartigue's photographs of his family in Paris playing together. The
wow.
nightlife, I was inspired by I'm having a moment when we can't remember the exact name. It'll come to me.
Okay.
A French photographer who photographed the nightlife of Paris in the 30s, and I was Brassai, and I was totally aware of his work. And
so you were gearing your photographs towards documenting this nightlife.
You know what? It's funny. I didn't realize. Someone just asked me the other night at a party what kind of photographs. I guess they're, you know, documentary would have. It's a, like a, more like a diary.
Huh. Okay.
But of a real event with an eye looking for lighthearted things. So huh. I have a documentary historical perspective, but those, the nightlife specifically, I didn't even show them. Huh. I was just living it. And like I said, at the time documenting what was Jewish New York for my job for American Jewish Congress, or working on this series of where I grew up on Long Island, which were, you know, my suburban friends and family. I didn't realize the nightlife were even different. There were so many photographers.
Meryl,
we're
completely out of time, and we've barely begun talking. We're completely out of time. My guest tonight is writer and photographer Meryl Meisler. Two books collecting her work are New York, Paradise Lost, Bushwick Era Disco, Purgatory in Paradise, Sassy 70s, I love that name, Suburbia in the City. I recommend both of them. They are amazing. Meryl, I'm going to have you come back and talk again because we barely get started.
It would my pleasure, anytime.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.
Okay.